Whether it's Stuart Carlin or David Chase, many top television writers are becoming as famous as the actors in the shows they create. But of course, these people don't do it all on their own. There's a team of writers working across every series on TV and not necessarily courting the fame and the glory, and certainly not getting the same big bucks as their more famous counterparts. Yet the real talent in TV lies in the hands of the writers. They're the ones who give our favourite characters the words they say. They're the ones who determine what's going to happen on the shows we love. But what's it exactly like writing for television as a career? And that's the question I'm asking now. Well, Peter McKenna is the creator of Red Rock on TV3. He's worked on a number of TV programmes at home and in the UK, including Casualty, EastEnders, The Musketeers. And Carmel Callan is a scriptwriter in Fair City and has also written for a number of other TV shows for both adults and children. And they're here with us now. Good morning to you both. I'll start with you, Carmel. This is the one, like the standard one. Did you always want to be a writer?
Well, I started off as an actress. I worked on Glenroe. I was the biker punk girl. But I was writing all along, and writing's in my family. My grandfather, Philip Callan, actually wrote for RTE and for BBC Radio. And they wrote scripts for Live.
Right.
And
yeah.
Like literally my auntie used to get in the bicycle and bicycle down and hand it to the actors. So I was always kind of doing that, and it was something that I did like. And also, from being an actor, you're looking at scripts, you're looking at what works and what doesn't. And I liked telling the story, and it turned out I could do it. So yeah. Happy days.
And did you feel you had a vague entree, because there was already at least one or two doors open? You were in the business, if you like.
Well, yes, and that I knew people.
Yeah.
But I have to say, you know, Ireland's very friendly business in that, you know, you can kind of knock on doors, you can ask people. People are pretty open. So in general, and also you can have an entree, but, you know, if you're rubbish, the entree is not going to last very long. So, you know, haven't been found out yet.
Right. OK, haven't been found out yet. What about you, Peter? I'll ask you the same question then. Did you always want to, I mean, OK, did you always want to be specifically a TV writer? Because I've just given a list of TV.
Yeah, I kind of did, I suppose. I wanted to write for either TV or film. And I'd always wanted, I'd kind of, for no reason except that this is what I wanted to do and this is how I saw myself. But I did nothing. I was kind of quite different in Carmel. I never wrote. I never wrote anything. I went and did business in college. I was very bad in school. And I ended up in marketing and not knowing what it was. But and it was a choice between repeating my leaving or doing marketing. And I did marketing because I reckoned I wouldn't probably study any harder a second time. So it seemed like the easiest thing. And then I left marketing and I opened an art gallery. And I did that during my 20s. And always I'd say, listen, I'm going to be a writer. I'm going to be a writer. But I did nothing. I didn't even write the press releases at the gallery. And then at 29... the person I worked with, who owned the gallery with me, was my partner, and she just came to me. She'd been hearing me talking about being a writer for a long, long time and was probably getting sick of it, and said, listen, I've arranged it so that you can have every Tuesday off. And she goes, you can stay in bed or go to the cinema or do what you like. But she said, never, ever say you didn't have the chance to be a writer.
Right, OK. And that put Tuesday on the map for you.
It
definitely
did. And that's how it began. And that's I actually went to Waterstones. It was pre-internet, and I bought a book by Sid Field on how, called Screenplay, and it was about how to write a screenplay, and I read it, and then I read one or two other books on a story structure, and then I sat down and I wrote a screenplay.
So are you another one of these people who look at the self-education side of things, i.e. you went and got these books and you had Tuesday off and you might as well do it?
It was a long time ago when there was fewer courses in film and stuff like that. And as I said, my leaving wasn't great, and I probably wouldn't have got into them anyway at the time. But it would have been lovely to have spent 3 or 4 years studying film or studying screenwriting. But I didn't get that opportunity. And by the time I started, at the time I felt very old at 29. Now it feels very young. But at the time I thought, I can't afford to go back and study. So I just have to do it and make it up. And I kind of thought as well, and I was kind of right. I kind of thought, if I'm rubbish, at least I'll find out really quickly this way. I won't spend 3 years in college and then discover I'm rubbish. If I just do it, people will say, you know, you're just not up to it. But as it happened, I was lucky, and, you know, one thing led to another.
All right. OK, yeah, one thing leads to another. That's what I was talking about, your entree thing there, just in terms of being in the business, Carmel. But I mean, like, what about the idea then that, you know, if the soap goes out, how many nights does the soap go out?
Four nights.
I'm just thinking, are you, like, there to do the whole story of everybody in those four nights for a specific period of time, or are you just concentrating on certain characters, or how does it actually work?
Well, how it works is in terms of the script writers, is that you work on an individual script, or you might do maybe two scripts.
What do you mean by an individual script? A program?
Yeah, one program.
All right.
And you write that straight through, and how you write it can be different ways. So, you know, sometimes you might take, there's usually four stories within an episode, you might write just one of the stories all the way through and have a look at how that's sitting and move stuff in.
And does somebody come along in a few weeks' time and take over?
No, you work with an editor. It'll go. It goes.
No,
through.
What I mean is take over and then be entirely in charge of where the story might go.
Well, there's a story team. There's a team of story writers.
Yeah.
So they're going to kind of map out everything, and you know, it's an interesting process. They'll bring it to a certain stage, then we take it to the next. Then it goes with editors. Then it goes with our executive producer. So it goes through loads of hoops and changes, but also. We'll feed back, and if you have a look at something and you sort of say, can we swing it this way? Kind of pretty much as long as you bring it into where it's meant to hit, you know, you can suggest what you like, and as long as you hit, the person still gets divorced, the person still does whatever.
That's what I
mean.
Getting,
I have tried for The Person Meets Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, right.
But
okay.
they're just not doing
and
it for
not,
me.
It's not as though,
it out there.
This is my month, I'm going to make 10 characters into serial killers. That's not really the way it works, just because you're in charge.
No, absolutely
right, okay.
not,
that's
you know.
Point, yeah.
And, you know, you can't have all the boys with their tops off all the time. There's,
right,
you know,
right.
a certain quota.
Yeah. Okay,
of,
so
of
all
tops
your wish
off.
List is coming out of the stuff you can't do. Okay, tops off Robert Downey.
But you can do a huge amount, and it's a real buzz. It's a real buzz to work on the series, and you know, you get a lot of feedback, and it's always kind of thrilling because you go, you know, the what ifs, let's run with this, let's see how far we can push.
Okay, but
it.
A lot of people would say, okay, that's very interesting what you do on a soap on television, but it's much more than that. I mean, if you're doing Fair City and it's on all the time, there's an awful lot of how we live our lives is reflected through these things, and we all know how vicariously people live through characters in soaps. There's always articles about that. What's there is real for an awful lot of people. So what I'm trying to get at here, the responsibility within the writing. Is there an element of responsibility about it?
Oh, big time.
In terms, particularly in terms of the topics that might get introduced.
Absolutely, big time. I mean, and I think that, well, there's a couple of things. One, that you want to have a truth in all the characters so that when people are having a look at, say, the older characters, that resonates. The younger characters, that resonates. And also, I mean, we've dealt with subjects like domestic abuse. And bear in mind, again, because it is a soap, the actress, the character Suzanne, was like a little girl when she started off in this series. So you're seeing this little girl emerging into this woman who's beating up Damo, our big, you know, lovable bear of a guy. So you've huge responsibility to create drama, but to be accurate. And we do a huge amount of research on that. And the writers will sit down with people that have come from outside, and we make sure that what we're hitting is absolutely true and valid. So there is... Yeah, total responsibility
in
that.
Exactly, yeah.
And I'm glad that there is. It's really nice because also I think the thing that's really important is that because, as you're saying, it reflects life, an awful lot of conversations happen in Irish homes that wouldn't happen unless it was brought up somewhere because it's a sort of safe environment.
Yeah.
It's a third party.
Yeah.
This is happening to Niamh. What do you think about this? So-and-so is drinking a little bit too much. What do you think about this? So it's cool like that. And it has an audience like from kids, you know, right up to seniors. So... Right across the board.
Right. By the way, that's Carmel Callan. 51552 is our text. And that's in terms of just, you know, the four nights a week on TV. Now, we were talking to Peter McKenna as well. And I mentioned there about Red Rock on TV3, but also a number of TV programmes across the way. Casualty, EastEnders, Musketeers, etc. So I'm going to assume, Peter, that one of the reasons why you might have gone over to that kind of thing was you realised you were good at this kind of thing or whatever, and there were very few opportunities here.
Well, it kind of, yes, in truth. I'd worked on shows and I'd worked on The Clinic for quite a few years, and I'd probably done something that, like, in hindsight, it was probably the wrong thing. I'd got complacent and I'd stayed on it for 5 years and I'd got good episodes, and it was, you know, I had a nice life. Like, you'd work so many months of the year, it was quite well paid, and I didn't push myself and I didn't get any better, I suppose. And when it was axed, it kind of left me with kind of brutal choices. And that's when I decided that, listen, when it was axed was the beginning of the recession and there wasn't an awful lot of drama being made. So I decided, listen, now is the time to go. And I went over to London and had meetings, and I almost did a Waking the Dead. But what I found very chastening at the time was nothing I had done here really mattered over there. And that was like, you'd been working on a big show. And
hold on, nothing you had done here really mattered over there. And yet, if the BBC Writers Academy, which is where you went to, and they only take 8 a year, what was on your CV that made them say, we'll take this guy?
Well, it's a writing sample. They don't, you know, that's, and the reason I went for the Writers Academy was because I was meeting Holby. Like, I went to Holby and they were very nice and they said, yeah, but they weren't interested in the clinic. They weren't interested in anything. And they were going, like, what have you done in the UK? And I had no credits. So when I came back, I sat down and I made a plan. And one of the things was, I will apply for the Writers Academy. The Writers Academy, all you need is one credit, like one produced credit and a writing sample. And they don't care about anything else. So I sent in a writing sample and it, I think 600 or 700 applied and they take 8 in the end. And I did 3 months. I moved to London for 3 months. And after that, then I began to work on all the BBC shows. And once you're in the door, I'd like, but I'm sure Carmel will agree, often the hardest thing in being a writer is being given a chance.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Once you're given a chance and you prove yourself or don't, well, then it's up to you. But it's just getting people to give you an opportunity. And the Writers Academy really opened up, like, the UK for me.
When I mentioned the courses you hadn't got a good enough Leaving Cert to get, what about you, Carmel, with all this? Do you think that this kind of thing, do you see a value in doing a course, say, in script writing or anything like that?
Well, I'm not that familiar with the script writing courses, so I kind of couldn't comment on them. But I do know, like, I'm the Writers Guild of Ireland is a great organisation, right? Obviously, it's the Writers Guild of Ireland, but you can become an associate member of that. That will connect you with other writers. They do run courses and they'll bring in people that are working in the business in all kinds of different ways. And again, as I say, it's sort of, that's also done, which I think is kind of important in a really non-intimidating way, because, like, writers are sort of sitting at home bricking it, you know what I mean? But this is like, you bring it in, and they also have, like, sessions where people come in, they'll critique your work, and that's very, very useful. And another one that I've done a couple of courses on is the Four Screen Training Ireland, and they're brilliant. They'll work right across through television, film, etc. You know,
just, you mentioned something earlier on there, Peter. We're talking to Peter McKenna here, just in terms of you know, how TV is really good in terms of where people want to go these days, particularly in America, and that everybody wants to go to TV. I mean, like, not just the actors, but the writers and everything. Why do you think TV is attracting all the top writing talent at the moment? Is it because of the old box set and the arc can be bigger? Big long story that lasts for a year.
Well, I kind of think it is. I suppose, like, a film is 90 minutes and you have to explore a story, or two hours, or perhaps 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
But what you get is often is you get, like, 20 hours to explore a story, to go into detail, to do things, to build a story up in a more measured and kind of interesting way. And I think that offers lots of opportunities. And I think it's very rewarding when it's very good. Like, if you're a viewer following something like True Detective, say, it's very, very rewarding watching. Yeah. And I'm sure it's very rewarding writing for it. And it's one of those things, and I know David Chase was in Ireland, like, a few weeks ago, but, like, when a show is that good, then other people want to do it as well. And then more good shows get made and more writers and more people are drawn towards TV. And I think there is there's a book at the moment, like Difficult Men, that was produced about the golden age. And it really charts how it grew through HBO. And I think once you begin to create this new culture that TV is really good and you can be really brave in TV and take chances, and then it just feeds itself and more people. Yeah. Can I just say, and I'm sorry to jump back, can I say one thing about the Writers Academy as well? And we were talking about courses and that is, like, it's funny, like, I went over, and the reason I did the Writers Academy, in all honesty, was because it guaranteed me a year's work on different BBC shows. And the guy who ran the Writers Academy was a guy called John York, who's head of continuing drama at BBC at the time. And he was the one who brought me to Red Rock. Like, he's the one who asked me to pitch the idea. Mm. And the plan is that he will run a Writers Academy on Red Rock, that we will select six writers a year, and then they will get to work on the show and he will train them the way they train it. So what we find in Ireland is there just isn't the opportunities, as many opportunities as there is in the UK for training. And we're trying to take a model that's worked really, really well in the UK and apply it to Ireland, and hopefully unearth, like, lots of new TV writers.
You've been a showrunner on that.
Yes.
What exactly does that actually mean?
It means, I suppose, you're the boss. You're a writer who's the boss.
Yeah.
And that's, like, you know, I write, you know, you come up with the ideas, you come up with the stories. Like, you're over everything from casting. I'm involved in casting. I'm involved in wardrobe, the sets, everything at all. So every decision comes to me in the end, and I have to sign off on everything from scripts to who plays the parts to everything. And, like, it's a new kind of phenomenon. When I was growing up, writers weren't really in that, and certainly not in Ireland. Mm. Like, in the first shows I worked on here, you were very much, you worked at home. home, you like there was shows I never even met another writer.
Yeah, but you know something, in this whole conversation here, you haven't mentioned what Cameron's mentioned 10 times, collaboration. Are you a loner in all of this?
No, I have a complete script department. I have loads of brilliant writers. I have producers. I have everything. We all work together and build it together.
By the way, you mentioned David Chase there, as in the man who created The Sopranos, the first of all. I'll be talking to him on the programme next week.
Cool.
So I will indeed.
Tell him
you
said hi.
I will. Okay, Cameron, like, what are you most proud of, if I can ask that, when it comes to your TV writing so far? Was there any one particular thing? Does it look at Fair City and you say, that was one thing that was fantastic?
Well, I'm sort of proud on an ongoing basis of Fair City. And again, you know, not to, you know, you were saying, I was saying the teamwork, but it is very much that. I love that about it. I've got to, the chance to write certain particular episodes. I wrote Wayne's Wedding, where he was handcuffed to his best man. And that was like, take a big pop at comedy. And that was really, really good fun. Again, the abuse story that we talked about, and that because of the responsibility. I feel very proud of that. And also that I gave the nation the line, he lit me up like a Christmas tree, about the beautiful Michael. And Niamh, the actress Clelia, loves it now. She did it in this most chocolatey voice, and she's been bought free drinks in Dublin ever since. So, you know, Clelia, you owe me.
All right, fair enough. I think she probably heard that. All right. Okay, so where do you come up with your ideas then for your shows? I mean, is it from everything? Is it from those six pages of the newspaper? Are you the kind of person who lives inside your own imagination all the time? Do you take from outside? Or
I do.
Once again, I have a big, huge coterie of people who write anyway, and they come up with everything, do they?
Well, certainly to do with story, I have a story team and we come up with the story for the characters. But as a starting point, like, you know, it was very funny, like, this time last year, Red Rock, we hadn't even started. Yeah. So, you know, and we sat down saying, like, in 6 months, we're going to be going to air and we have to create a soap opera. And how do you come up with that? And I started off with, you know, the inspiration for me as a starting point was a Gregory Peck film I liked. And from that, I thought, that's a really...
Which was what?
Yeah. The Big Country.
Oh, my God! Here, we could stay all day.
I love The Big Country.
Fantastic.
And it's funny.
Like, the Hennessys are trash.
The Hennessys, and one of the families in this is the Hennessys.
Oh, really?
And the superintendent, who's at the heart of the show, who's married into the rich family, is called James McKay, which was Gregory Peck's character.
No, wait, hold on. What's your man's name? The Major. What was his name, Major?
Oh, I can't remember.
You come a busting up my place for the last time.
Well, that's
Henry Tyrrell. Henry Tyrrell.
Yes.
And we have,
what a movie.
We have Tyrrells in the show. We have Hennessy's in the show.
What?
We have James McKay in the show.
I never realised that.
Did you? No. It's based about, I suppose, what it is. It's
the Big Muddy. You haven't got
the
that in the
Muddy.
Show.
No, we don't have to be. We should have named a bar. We should have named a bar the Big Muddy.
Yeah.
But we have a policeman who's married into one family, feuding with another family. That was the starting point. And from that, we created a whole world of Red Rock. Now, it goes in different directions after that.
Right.
But that was the starting point. I just thought, I love that movie. You could put that in Ireland and tell a story about
that. And the music.
That.
When the Major goes in and Charlton Heston goes after him.
Yeah.
Into Blanco Canyon.
Yeah.
Oh, and I love
it's
the greatest.
The punch up in the morning.
Well,
when
the punch up in the morning, the two of them get up.
Charlton Heston.
Wait a minute now. Was it the dude? What was Gregory Peck called by Charlton Heston? The guy, in other words, the educated man.
Yeah, what was he called? Because he was from the East Coast.
Yeah, from the East. You take a long time to say goodbye.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. The two of them beating the crap out of each other at 5 a.m. Yeah. That's brilliant. And Ramon breaking in the horse.
And doing it on his own when they were all out and all
that's
that.
Fantastic.
The whole stuff. So, like, that was the starting point. And then from then, I suppose I threw stuff from my family, from my own life, and then the characters. After a while, the characters take on a life of their own and then they become themselves and then they guide you. I know that sounds kind of slightly arty-farty, but it's not. They become alive and then they become alive again when an actor takes over them and they bring them in a different direction and then you begin to write for the characters. So now, writing for them, you kind of know what a lot of characters would do.
Exactly.
And what would but in the beginning, it was nothing. It was it was Gregory Peck.
Well, then, Carmel, like, from
that's
your
like
point
the beginning
of view.
Of the world. I like that. In the beginning, there was nothing. And then in 7 days.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And then you were knackered, so you took a rest on
you
the
were
last
on horseback,
day.
Beating.
Okay, listen, the first question I asked you was one of the obvious ones. So I'm going to ask you another one now towards the end here, just for an obvious question.
Okay.
The piece of advice, sorry, Carmel, I have to do it. What one piece of advice would you give to a budding TV writer who might be listening in now?
Well, if you're any good, don't consider it because you're taking my job. If you're rubbish, go for it. No. Write. First, sit down and write. Read it out loud to yourself. Take half away of what you've got there. That's always good. Anytime, and the classic, don't say it, show it. But in order to get yourself out there, to get yourself a gig, knock on every door. You know, the internet is a great facility. People can make their own little shorts, yeah. again, on a phone or yeah. whatever. But do it. But really write, and also show it around, and don't be afraid to ask. And Fair City, on its website, you can get in touch, you can submit work that you have if you want to be considered as a script yeah. writer. And it can be any kind of a script. Radio, right. you know, film, whatever. Oh, yeah. But the advice is right, and enjoy it. And also, I think as well, if you're not enjoying it, no one else is going to enjoy it. And enjoying it can be like, you know, wrecking your head with it as well. But you're yeah. engaged.
And just because you're enjoying it doesn't mean other people are going to enjoy it either.
Well, that is very true. That is the acid test, you know.
Okay, I've asked you for one. I'm going to ask you for two. Pieces of advice?
The same kind of thing again is right, because as a writer, you're kind of lucky. Say an actor, when they're not working, they can't really work. Mm. Whereas a writer, even if you're not in employment, you can always write, and you should always yeah. write, and you do get better and you do learn your craft. So I'd say I would agree with Carmen completely. I think just write is the first thing. The second thing I would say, and it's much more kind of specific, and it's specific to the world of TV, and if you're going into it, would be develop kind of like a hard skin is the wrong thing, but not to take things personally, which is what sure. I would say, because a lot of criticism comes your way and it's just the job. Like, people, it's not you, it's the script and the work. And I think you have to build up that kind of, like, I suppose, a wall around you where yeah. you don't take offence.
What you do is you sort yeah. of have, it's your work up to a certain point.
Yeah. Yeah,
then you hand
yeah.
it over, and yeah. it's distance, yeah. isn't it? You create distance. But also as well, criticism, sometimes you go, you know, when you've gone and wept the salty tears, mm. then listen to it again, and it can be good.
And it can be brilliant.
It can be the making of you, you
and
know?
Like, good editors, good producers, they kind of transform scripts. The amount mm. of times I've sat down and people have given me ideas in meetings, script editors and people, and said, why don't you try this? And it'll turn like an all right script into a very good script.
Yeah.
And like
yeah.
the other thing, and I wasn't going to say, is don't be afraid to nick things from anywhere. And I mean, yeah. like, if somebody says, to you in the street, listen, this, what about this or what about that? If it works, just use it.
Do you know something? If something yeah. works, finally, yes. the funny yeah. thing about it, if something works, I mean, like, obviously Breaking Bad is the biggest thing since Sopranos in terms of something working. So Vince Gilligan is coerced, if you like, into, okay, then we will take one character and try and make a new series. Now, you haven't seen Better Call Saul?
No,
or
I haven't.
No.
I've
seen, have
all
you
those
seen it?
Yeah, I've seen them all, yeah. I think it's overpraised, but it's great. I mean, I can't believe it worked. I wouldn't have thought it would, even though Saul was a fantastic character yeah. in Breaking Bad. Yeah. I just think those things are going to be off and very dodgy. But anyway, it is. It's working great, yeah. So you guys, anyway, onwards and upwards, and just continue to do that. Are you going to be doing anything more in Britain? Are we?
Yeah, you? I am. Like, I'm finished on Red Rock in the end of March, beginning of April, and then I will be going starting the Musketeers in April. I'm doing other stuff in Britain. I've got right. like two or three projects lined up.
And I presume you're very proud of the fact of just like the anniversary recently of Fair City and that, and just how huge it is in terms of the
it was fab,
psyche
actually.
Of Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely, it was fab, yeah. And I got, in fact, to do that big mill in the street. That was my episode where the two boys
right.
were lashing into each other. But I'm working on Roy for CBBC's, and that's just fantastic, you know. And do you know, it's mixed animation. It's animation and live action with Simon Delaney and Kathy Belton. Her name
right,
went there
yeah,
for a minute.
Yeah.
It came from one called Badly Drawn Roy. So it's just this mad cartoon lad in the middle of everything. So that's another side.
Brilliant.
I also think that's really good, again, I'm sure you do, is to mix it up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah. it's not like same old, you're doing one thing, then swap it up to the next. And you know, do things for nothing as well for younger people coming up, lash in and give them
listen,
a hand.
You'll be doing things for nothing anyway.
Yeah. yeah, yeah.
All right, listen,
I mean?
Carmel Callan yeah. and also Peter McKinnon, thanks a million for dropping in to talk to us about that in terms of writing for TV, etc.